Job 28 and verse 28, Job 28, 28, it says, "And unto man he said, Behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom. And to depart from evil is understanding. Behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom. And to depart from evil is understanding." I just want to talk about wisdom tonight. Tonight is graduates night at our church, and we've had some graduate from high school, and Chris has graduated from Bible college with his degree in pastoral theology. We look forward to what God's going to do with all these young people. And I want to try to bring an appropriate message to them. It'll be a simple message, and I hope it'll be helpful to them as well to all of us. There's never a day or a time or a season in our life where we outgrow the need for wisdom. You can have wisdom when you're a child, and you can have wisdom as you grow in your youth. And these young people that we've honored tonight obviously have walked in some wisdom, because there's a lot of other young people their age and their generation that have already messed their lives up. And these are well on their way, it seems, that we've honored tonight to finding the Lord's will. And some of us older adults probably look at them tonight and say, "Boy, I kind of wish I was in their place when I was their age." So we thank God for them and the good job the parents have done with them. But we need wisdom at all ages. Those of you that have graduated need to understand that there's some wisdom you can't get any other way but by experience, and you don't have that yet. And so there's always the chance for us to have more and more wisdom. I asked one of our little boys this morning if he was glad that his sister was going away for 5 weeks for summer. I said, "Are you glad to get rid of her?" And he looked at me and he didn't answer the question. And I said, "You're a wise young man. You know, he that keepeth his tongue keepeth his soul from troubles." That's what it says in Proverbs. And he says, "Well, I'm learning," I forgot exactly what he said. He says, "I'm learning when to answer questions and when to remain silent." Amen. That's a little boy. Amen. That's good. Because that question gets you in trouble. And I didn't mean to do that, but isn't that great that a young boy would think that way in this day and age and say, "You know, maybe there's some times we shouldn't say anything." Some people are addicted to talking, you know, and all they do is get in trouble, make enemies, and isolate themselves from everybody. And people don't want to be around him or her or whoever it is that talks all the time. But that's some good wisdom right there. You can know wisdom when you're a kid. And then there's other things you just got to learn by experience as life goes along. But I want to just bring a message to our graduates tonight, to all of us. Number one, what is wisdom? Number two, the impartation of wisdom. In other words, how can we get it? And number three, the value of wisdom. And I don't think by my notes that I'll be long, but I've said that before. I don't want to be wrong, but I want to talk about wisdom tonight as a graduation message, and to those that have graduated, and as rest to all of us. First of all, I want to talk about what is wisdom. What is wisdom? The Bible is loaded with wisdom. The Bible is the book of wisdom. The whole thing from cover to cover is about wisdom. In fact, the word wisdom itself is mentioned 222 times in the Scriptures. That's a lot where God brings that word up. It's something that he wants us to note. It's a biblical word. It's a biblical word. And schools can give education, but they can't really give wisdom. They give knowledge and understanding, which are the foundations for wisdom. But knowledge is the facts. Understanding is knowing how to use the facts. But wisdom is when you take it into your life and appropriate it at the time when it is needed. You can know a lot of facts and understanding and then do something completely different when that is needed. and mess up your life. We are to walk in wisdom, the scripture says. Well, for to walk in wisdom, we better know what it is. Now, I got a few definitions on a handout that I've given you. The first is from the 1828 Noah Webster's Dictionary. I want to encourage you to purchase one. They're about $50, but they're back in print. It's a great Bible aid, Bible study aid to have in your library because it's very, very accurate in its definition of Bible terms. It's very close. And also, it's just full of scriptures. It's amazing that the Noah Webster's Dictionary of 1828 was the dictionary of our country in the formative years of our country. And you can't flip one page in it, but that you find scriptures used as illustrations of definitions. The Noah Webster's Dictionary is just full of the Bible. And it just shows you what America was like one time. It was full of the Bible. And the Noah Webster's Dictionary defines wisdom this way: the right use or exercise of knowledge, the choice of laudable ends, and of the best means to accomplish them. This is wisdom in act, effect, or practice. If wisdom is to be considered as a faculty of the mind, it is the faculty of discerning or judging what is most just, proper, and useful, and is to be considered as an acquirement. It is the knowledge and use of what is best, most just, most proper, most conducive to prosperity or happiness. Wisdom, in the first sense, or practical wisdom, is nearly synonymous with discretion. It differs somewhat from prudence in this respect. Prudence is the exercise of sound judgment, either in avoiding evils or attempting good. Prudence, then, is a species of which wisdom is the genus. I don't even know what that means. You know, some of that old English, man, I'll tell you, the English language was at its zenith when the King James Bible was written and through the Shakespearean age, and so it's kind of declined ever since then. And it's sad when we can't even understand our own dictionary sometimes. But I hope you understood a lot of that, and that is a great definition of thinking and acting and using the knowledge and understanding you have right now to bring about the best for your life in the future. Prudence. Now, the concordance definition is this: wisdom, broad and full intelligence, use of knowledge on many different matters, acuteness of experience, skill in management of affairs, devout and proper prudence in conversation with men who are not believers in Christ, skill and discretion in imparting Christian truth, the knowledge and practice of godly and upright living. Those are the concordance definitions. I like where it says devout and proper prudence in conversation with men who are not believers in Christ. We need to be careful how we talk to them. We need to give them the truth, but you can say the truth in the wrong way and not speak wisely. And so here's the concordance definition. Now, what's the Bible definition? Well, we read it already, but let's read it again. Job 28:28, in my opinion, is the greatest definition of wisdom ever given. And unto man he, God said, behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom. There it is. I like how simple the Bible can be. The fear of the Lord. That is wisdom. And to depart from evil is understanding. If you fear God, I don't care if you're illiterate and don't even know how to sign your name on a check. If you fear God, you're a wise person. You're wiser than a person who has an earned PhD but has no fear of God. The fear of the Lord, that is wisdom. I think that's the greatest definition anywhere in the world, Job 28 and verse 28. So what's wisdom? The fear of the Lord. You can never go wrong there. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. An expanded Bible definition of wisdom, or at least the evidences of wisdom, is in James 3 and verse 17. It says, but the wisdom that is from above. Now in James 3, 15 and 16, the two verses before this, he explains that there is a wisdom from below. He says that the wisdom that's from below is of the world. It's earthly, it's sensual, it's devilish. And so he says in James 3, 15 and 16, that's not on your sheet. But the wisdom of the world is earthly, that's worldly, sensual, that's of the flesh, devilish, that's of the devil. The real three greatest opponents of the believer in his walk with the Lord and his walk in wisdom is earthly wisdom. The world is filled with wisdom, and it's wrong. The world is constantly making up their own wisdom, their own sciences, their own philosophies. Their sensual wisdom. You know, if it feels good, do it. Follow the flesh. And then there is devilish wisdom. The Bible says the world will be inundated in the last days with seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. In 1 Timothy 4 and verse 1. Going to be doctrines of devils all over the world in the last days. And you and I got to sift them out. That's devilish wisdom. We talked about the newspaper article this morning. It was in the Buffalo News this week. The big scientific study. It was very scientific. 36,000 people. And 75% of Americans believe they will be rewarded with heaven by the good life that they have lived down here on earth. Now that's devilish wisdom. That's not scriptural. That's not scriptural. Nobody's going to be rewarded with heaven. Heaven's a gift. It's not a reward. It's a gift that is received from God through faith in His Son, Jesus Christ. But the devil has filled the world with his doctrines. In the last days, it says, many will depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. But the next verse says, in verse 17, but the wisdom that is from above, and so it contrasts the wisdom of the world and the wisdom that's from above is first pure. These are what the book of Proverbs calls the seven pillars. It says, wisdom hath hewn out her seven pillars, and in chapter 3 and verse 17, we see the seven pillars of wisdom. Number one is purity. Number two is peace. Number three is gentleness. Number four is easy compliance. It's not hard to do God's will. Number five is being full of mercy and good fruit. Number six is never having partiality. And number seven is never having hypocrisy. That's wisdom. For instance, a parent who can avoid hypocrisy is a very wise parent. Why? Hypocrisy is going to turn their children off. That's not wise. A young person who leads a pure life, that's wisdom. That's one of the pillars of wisdom. Why? Because nobody ever regrets being pure. Peace. This is talking about having peace with God, having the peace of God. And then having the peace that comes with the confirmation of our decisions by the Holy Ghost. Not doing things in doubt. He that doubteth is damned if he, for whatsoever is not of faith is sin. And wisdom brings an element of peace to a person's life because they know what they're doing. Because God has given them wisdom. And it goes on, the other one's gentleness. One of the wisest things you'll ever do, whether it's in ministry, soul winning, raising your children, talking to your neighbors, being gentle with them. David said about God, thy gentleness hath made me great. God dealt very wisely with David. Very gently. And if we can deal in gentleness, it'll produce greatness. Our children, our grandchildren will explore the all the possibilities of their lives if we will be gentle with them. But you know, the world is filled with recluses, people hiding in their houses, people that don't want to go out in the public, people that don't want to go to churches. You know why? Because their moms and dads battered them to death while they were growing up, and they're tired of being hurt by people. They'd rather stay home with their dogs. Because at least their dogs will love them. There's a lot of people who fear the ministry. Some of you fear getting involved because you've been so battered by other human beings all your life, you said, that's enough, I'm not getting involved anymore. Because there were some unwise people in your life growing up that weren't gentle with you. God will be gentle with you. If I'd have gotten what I deserve, he'd have killed me a long time ago, but he's been awful gentle with me. I think all of you would probably say tonight, God's been gentle with you. And his gentleness makes us great. Gentleness is wisdom. These are the seven pillars of wisdom. Easy compliance. It's not hard to do what God asks us to do. Full of mercy and good fruits. This is wisdom. The Bible says, he that winneth souls is wise. That's good fruits, right? That's good fruits. He that winneth souls is wise. Wisdom, wise. The person that wins people to Christ and is full of mercy. Now, that's a wise thing to do, to be full of mercy. Why? Because you're going to need it someday. That's wise. The Bible tells us what wisdom is. It's without hypocrisy, without partiality. Do you ever see parents who are partial towards one of their children above the others? What happens in that family? You have a big war, don't you? Remember Jacob and Esau? Isaac loved Esau, right? Rebecca loved Jacob. They had their own favorites. Partiality, look what happened to that family. What a mess. Esau went off and married a bunch of heathen girls, two of them, just to make his parents, Isaac and Rebekah, have grief. He said, I'm going to get my parents back. She loved Jacob more than me, and he stole my birthright and my blessing. I'm going to get them back. And so he purposely went out and got a couple of heathen girls and married them just to spite his parents because of partiality. That's not very smart. We as fathers and mothers must be impartial. The Bible says God is impartial. He has without respect of persons. Doesn't matter who a person is, anyone can be saved. No matter what nation they are, what skin color they are, smart, poor, or dumb, rich, poor, doesn't matter. God is impartial. God is all-wise God. He knows that wisdom is without partiality. You need to love your children. All of your children are different. But you need to love them equally. You love your children equally but differently. The Holy Spirit can teach you as a father or a mother how to love each children. Some you have to be a little stricter with. Some you have to be a little gentler with. Some you have to watch their emotions because they're hurt really easy. They cry really easy, and others can take it. And so parents have to love their children equally, but differently. And every one of those kids should know mom and dad loved us equally. They didn't have any favorites whatsoever. Now, that's just one illustration, but it ought to be the same way in church. Amen? It ought to be the same way in church. Whether we're pastors or people, we ought to love each other equally. We ought not to, it says in the book of James, have respect for the one that comes in with the real nice clothes and wearing a gold ring, and we say, sit here in a high place, and somebody else comes in bad clothes. We say, sit over there. James said, that's sin. When you have respect of persons, you sin. And we that's not wise. That's not going to build a good church. A good church has to be where we just are impartial towards the people God has sent our way. And so we want to make single people welcome here, family people welcome here, divorced people welcome here. Widows and widowers, welcome here. Nobody should feel as though they're not loved as much. This is one of the reasons why I personally have adapted a philosophy. In 25 years, I've never seen the offerings of this church. 25 years, I've never seen the offerings, ever. 25 years, I've never counted them, never deposited them. Never seen the tithe records, even though we've kept 25 years of tithe records, I've never seen them. I don't know who here gives what. I'm not saying it's wrong for a pastor to do that. In fact, it might be very wise for a pastor to. Every church is different. But I just felt it would help me in my ministry to be impartial to people. And not be concerned about, boy, I might hurt this person's feelings, and they give a lot of money. This person doesn't give a dime, so who cares about them? No, I don't want to get that way. I don't want to get that way. Wisdom, seven pillars. Well, let's go on to part number two now, the impartation of wisdom. We've discussed what is wisdom. What is wisdom? And if all this sheet here, it's hard to remember everything on it and everything I just said about James 1:7. James 3:17. But if we can leave here and say the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom. And to depart from evil is understanding. You'll have some wisdom. Now let's talk about the impartation of wisdom. The first time wisdom is mentioned in the Bible is in Exodus 28. Turn there. Exodus 28. Exodus, the second book in the Bible, 28. I want to show you the first seven mentions, and I'll go through these quickly. The first seven mentions of wisdom in the Bible. And I want you to notice a theme that repeats itself over and over and over again when wisdom is brought up. The word wisdom is never used in the book of Genesis. But when we get to the book of Exodus, we find its first mention. Some people believe in the law of first mention when it comes to biblical interpretation. I don't know if I buy that or not, but a lot of times when you see something mentioned for the first time, boy, there's some truths that surround it that really you can learn from. And this one jumped out at me. Notice Exodus 28, verse 3. And thou shalt speak unto all that are wise-hearted, whom I have filled with the Spirit of wisdom. There's the first time the word appears in your Bible. I want you to notice the statement. God is speaking. God is speaking, and he says this, whom I have filled with the Spirit of wisdom. We're talking now about the impartation of wisdom. How do we get wisdom? Let's go to the second mention, chapter 31 and verse 3. Chapter 31 and verse 3. And I have filled him with the Spirit of God in wisdom. Let's go to the third, chapter 31, verse 6. And I, behold, I have given unto him a whole Eliab, the son of Ahizamak of the tribe of Dan, and in the hearts of all that are wise-hearted, I have put wisdom. Next mention, chapter 35, verse 31. And he hath filled him with the Spirit of God in wisdom. Next mention, 35, 35. Them hath he filled with wisdom of heart. Chapter 36, 1. And then wrought Bezalel and Aholiab and wise and every wise-hearted man in whom the Lord put wisdom. Chapter 36, verse 2. Here's our seventh mention. And Moses called Bezalel and Aholiab and every wise-hearted man in whose heart the Lord had put wisdom. Now the first seven times, wisdom is mentioned in the Scriptures. I was amazed as I studied this out about a theme that was built around that word. And what was the theme? The Lord gave it. The Lord put it in them. Every time the word's brought up, the Lord put wisdom in their hearts. The Spirit of the Lord and wisdom that I gave them. The Lord gives wisdom. Talking second of all tonight about the impartation of wisdom. I want to encourage you tonight. And this is a temptation, especially for those of us who've walked with the Lord for a little while. He starts giving you wisdom, And then what happens? You get the big head. Like it was something you figured out, like it was something I figured out. You ever done that? 1 Corinthians 8:1 says, knowledge puffeth up. And boy, that's when we're done. That's when we're done. We need to be humble. We need to be humble about this matter of wisdom. Doesn't matter who you are. I don't care if you're 60 or 70 or 80 and you've had so much wisdom given to you over the years. Now, you may have gotten an education, and you may have gotten some knowledge and understanding from man, but you get wisdom from God. You get wisdom from God. Even pastors are said in Jeremiah 3:15, I will give you pastors according to mine heart, which shall feed you with knowledge and understanding. Pastors and teachers and principals and missionaries and evangelists, we can give you knowledge. We can give you understanding. The Bible says that. I can give you some facts. I can give you some understanding on how to use the facts, but only God can give you wisdom. God imparts wisdom to people. And so if you have gotten wisdom, if you've gotten a lot of wisdom, and some of you have, I can depend on some of you to give counsel. I don't lose a minute of sleep over it when you're counseling with somebody. I know you're going to be accurate. But be careful about that. Let's give God the glory. Let's give God the glory. As John, I think it was, no, as the Apostle Paul said, he said, what hast thou that thou didst not receive? A man can receive nothing. That's what John the Baptist said, except it be given him from above. God is the one that imparts wisdom. In 1 Kings chapter number 3 and verse number 28, 1 Kings 3 and verse 28, it says, and all Israel heard of the judgment which the king had judged, and they feared the king, for they saw that the wisdom of God was with him. Now, this is the story, of course, of Solomon. Remember Solomon? What did he pray for? That God would give him wisdom, that God would give him an understanding heart. And it says, the speech pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this thing. And so God gave him wisdom, and all the people came. The Queen of Sheba came. Remember her? She said, I'm going to go. I can't believe the wisdom this guy has. The Bible says that Solomon had more wisdom than Heman and Ethan. And Heman and Ethan were men that God used in the temple and also used to write the Psalms. I believe Ethan wrote Psalm 89. Heman wrote Psalm 88. And those that write psalms and songs ought to have some wisdom. That's the problem with a lot of the modern music. It's being written by some young people who don't know anything. I'm not saying young people can't know something. But the Bible talks about music in a very, very strict sense. It says speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. I'm sorry. That's Ephesians. I'm thinking of the quote from Colossians. Where it says, teaching, oh man, my mind just went blank here. It talks about the parallel between wisdom and writing songs. And it says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. You ever notice how before we let someone be a pastor, he's got to know something? Before we let somebody be an evangelist, he's got to know something? Before we let somebody be a missionary, he's got to know something? We expect the word of the Lord to dwell in their hearts richly in all wisdom. If somebody doesn't know the Bible, we're not going to have them be a pastor or a missionary, an evangelist or a teacher or something, are we? But the same criteria is in the Bible for those that write music. You ever think of that? Maybe we ought to have a criteria where people got to go off. You know, people that wrote the greatest hymns that have endured the test of time, they knew their Bible. Fanny Crosby, she could quote the Psalms. Not a few of them, all of them. She knew the Bible. And so much of this stuff nowadays that they're passing on us for music, Brother Dan. Now, I've seen some of these choruses and songs coming out, and I've looked at them, and maybe I know too much Bible, and I don't. Sometimes I look at them and think, that's not even scriptural. God put wisdom. It says, and there came of all people to hear the wisdom of Solomon. And it says, God gave Solomon in 1 Kings 4:29 wisdom and understanding exceeding much and largeness of heart, even as the sand that is on the seashore. Do you see a theme here? I'm giving you verse after verse after verse after verse after verse where it says, God gave wisdom, God gave wisdom, God gave wisdom, God gave wisdom, God gave wisdom. Now what about us? Before we go to the last point, look at James chapter 1, and many of you can quote this verse. And it says this, in verse 5, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth to what? All men liberally. And upbraideth not. He's not going to scourge you. That's what it means, and upbraideth not. He's not going to scold you if you ask him for wisdom. He's not going to be like some parents who lose their patience with their kids after they've tried to teach them something once or twice. I like that. When I ask him for wisdom about something, he doesn't say, all right, I taught you that 10 years ago. No, he doesn't upbraid us. Isn't that great? If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all men liberally, and upbraideth not. Now, let me just say this, though, before we go to our last point. When you ask God for wisdom, what's he going to do? Speak out loud to you? How's he going to give it? He's just going to whack you in the side of the head and say, bang, there it is. No, listen to this, and this is out of Proverbs chapter 2. My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thy heart to understanding. Yea, listen, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for hid treasures, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord giveth wisdom, out of his mouth knowledge and understanding cometh knowledge and understanding. He layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous. He is a buckler to them that walk uprightly. How does wisdom come according to Proverbs 2? Notice three things. You got to hear it. Now I'm preaching to the choir tonight. You're here on Sunday night. You got to hear wisdom. In 1 Corinthians it says, we speak wisdom to them that are of age. I get a lot deeper on Sunday nights and Wednesday nights than I do on Sunday morning as a pastor. We got to hear, we got to listen for it. As the knowledge and understanding goes forth and you begin to take it into your life so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and let God speak to you through preaching and give you wisdom. God can give one of the conduits, one of the vehicles that God uses to bring wisdom to us is the hearing of the Word of God. I know we all know that verse, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. But wisdom is channeled to us by hearing. And that's when the Holy Spirit makes the application of the sermon in your heart, and it's not some effort of the pastor. But you know how it is, I hope. I know how it is to sit and listen to preaching, and while the preacher's preaching, there's another voice saying things to you. That's the Holy Spirit. He's the one that's really accomplishing something. Although as pastors, we like to take the credit. But it's the Lord. It's the Lord. As the preacher preaches, there's a conduit, hearing. Proverbs chapter 2 and verse 2, hearing. Crying, verse 3. Yea, if thou criest after knowledge, and liftest up thy voice for understanding. What's a synonym today for crying and lifting up your voice? What's a synonym for that, for practical purposes? What would we call that in one word, synonym? That's good. Prayer. Prayer. Desire, prayer. If you pray for it, God, give me wisdom. If you cry after, I got to know what you want me to do. I've got to know how to deal with this situation. I've got to know what you want me to do next in my life. Verse 4, if thou seekest her as silver, what would we call that today? Bible study. Now you can sit around and hope God speaks to you in an audible voice, or you can crack open your Bible and let God start showing you things and how to walk. Let me close with this, the value of wisdom. We've talked tonight about what is wisdom. We've talked about the impartation of wisdom that comes from God. When we hear God's word, when we cry after wisdom, when we seek God's word, the Bible, we're in the Bible, and we saturate our minds and our hearts with the Bible, wisdom comes. God speaks to us through his word and says, this is what you need to do. This is the way. Walk ye in it. Let me just close with the value. The value of wisdom. Back in, and I'll just read these quickly here. Back in Job 28:18, it says this. It says, no mention shall be made of coral or of pearls, for the price of wisdom is above rubies. That's a strange verse for us today. But he's saying, listen, Job is saying, in this subject of wisdom, don't even mention coral or pearls. That stuff's too cheap. He says, for the price of wisdom is above rubies. Now, from my studies, I have learned that rubies, in the days when the Bible were written, were more valuable than diamonds. And Job is saying, don't talk about inferior things like pearl and coral when you're trying to give an illustration to people of how valuable wisdom is. Because wisdom is far above rubies. The price of wisdom. That was the most treasured gem of that day. It's not like that today. Today, diamonds are a woman's best friend, right? So my wife doesn't have many friends. She's got me and one little diamond. That's all the friends she's got. No, just kidding. She's got rubies, though, right? Got some rubies. I bought her a ring with rubies on it. Amen. So, see, I'm not too bad. But back then, Job was trying to say the price of wisdom. It'd be like me saying today, folks, the price of wisdom, owning wisdom, possessing wisdom, is far above diamonds. Far above diamonds. In fact, you'd be better off. I've seen couples in divorce court before they even had the diamond ring paid off nowadays. And they'd have been better with some Bible wisdom on how to have a good marriage and a ring with cubic zirconia in it than with that big old diamond and no wisdom on what they're doing. I've preached before, it takes a whole lot more love to make a marriage work. Proverbs 4:7 says, wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding. We're talking about the value of wisdom. It's the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. with all thy getting, get understanding. And Proverbs 8 and verse 11, for wisdom is better than rubies, and all the things that may be desired are not to be compared to it. Anything you can desire, anything your heart desires, cannot be compared to gaining wisdom. Proverbs 16:16 says, wisdom is better than gold. Ecclesiastes 7, verse 12 says, wisdom is better than riches. And so, graduates, see the value of wisdom. You know, this last part, Ecclesiastes 17:12, about wisdom being greater than riches, walk in wisdom. You young people that have just graduated from high school, you're going to be entering now into the workforce in many cases. You might be best not. That's taken a lot of people away from God. But if you do, and I know men have to work, Chris, you got to work. That's what the Bible says. Don't work on Sundays. Just have some convictions. Say, I'm not going to work on Sundays. Did you ever hear Chick-fil-A? Any ever heard Chick-fil-A? What is it? Shout it out. Restaurant chain. Successful one. The guy won't open on Sundays. Very successful. Because the owner's a Christian. Says, I want my employees to have Sundays off so they can go to church. He's not doing too bad. I think God's taking care of him. God can take care of you. To say wisdom is more valuable than riches, than rubies, than all things that I can desire, than gold. It's the principal thing, therefore I'm going to get wisdom. And sanctify the Lord's Day in your life. Sanctify the Lord's Day. Say, I got to go hear God's word and hear my teachers and hang around with those that have gleaned some wisdom, rub shoulders with them on the Lord's Day, some of the senior citizens and other things, and I just need to get wisdom. I need to get some knowledge and understanding. Pastors and teachers can give me that, but I want to hear from God to give me some wisdom. And man, at the end of your life, you know what you're going to say if you walk in wisdom, you graduates and everyone else, you're going to say, I've lived a rich life. I've lived a rich life. Let's bow for prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for the definition of wisdom tonight, the impartation of wisdom that comes from God. Oh, Lord, you said you give it to all men liberally and afraid not, and it shall be given him. And we've seen the value of riches, greater than rubies, greater than anything we can desire, greater than gold. Oh, Father, give us wisdom. Help us to listen for it. Help us to cry after it. May it be at or near the top of every one of our prayer lists for ourselves individually. God, give me wisdom. Help us to pray for our kids to have wisdom, our children to have wisdom. Not so much health or wealth, but wisdom. Let that be our desire. Oh, Lord, help us to see its value tonight. Bless the rest of our little meeting and our time fellowship this night, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.